Chapter 7, Into Hiding. Monday, my suffering only continued. Aunt Holly not only remembered I had school, she woke me up extra early to make sure I was ready. Nothing she could do would make me ready. She excitedly packed a sack lunch for me and I stowed it in my backpack. The school's not far, only a couple blocks away, but I'd feel better driving you, she said, and plucked her keys off the hook. I wondered only for a moment if it would have been better staying in my fantasy world instead of facing my real life. On our way there, we passed other fancy Victorian homes and kids walking on the sidewalk. There was no way I'd fit in with this crowd. I have a style all my own, but I've been told that that wasn't a good thing. I'm not a cut model type. I'm more of a dorky Mr. Rogers if you wore hoodies and jeans all the time. My cheeks flushed as Aunt Holly pulled up in the lot at school. This was going to be painful. She walked me into the office like a child and introduced me to the receptionist, who fake smiled at me like she'd seen far too many kids in her life to care about one more. If you think you'll be okay, then I'll meet you out front after school. Good luck, Nim, Aunt Holly said and gave me a hug, adding insult to injury. I pulled back. No, can you meet me down at the stop sign instead? Of course. See you later. She turned and left as the receptionist walked around her desk and said in a flat tone, Come with me. I'll show you to your locker in first class. She pressed my schedule into my hand as she walked past me. We got jostled and bumped by passing students, and every time the receptionist was touched, she recoiled like she'd been exposed to the plague. After taking a closer look at a few of the kids, I didn't blame her. She stopped and pointed at one of the lockers in the packed hallway. Number 362 is yours. The combination is written on your schedule. Moving on. Two boys were leaning up against that section of lockers and seemed to be passing the time pointing out all the good-looking girls as they passed by. Great. I'd have to avoid my locker as much as possible. At least if I wanted to avoid my IQ dropping below the level of a snail. The ringleader noticed me staring at him and said, What's up? You brain damaged? Like I was saying. Clearly, the receptionist meant business and had nearly disappeared around the corner when I hauled out of there. She must have wanted to get back to the safety of her desk. When I caught up to her, she pointed at the door down the hall and I muttered, Thanks, I can take it from here. I slipped into the room unnoticed and took a seat in the back of the class. My neck flushed when my locker neighbor walked into the room. I hoped he wouldn't notice me. But, of course, the teacher felt it was necessary to introduce me to the class. Dude, your name's Nimrod? My locker neighbor said. How sardonic. Dude, I think you mean ironic, I thought. What a tool. Good one, Darren, his buddy congratulated him, giving him a high five. Once again, my name provided the jerks a way to tease me without having to come up with an imaginative insult. I used to tell my mom I wished she hadn't named me after Grandpa and had chosen something else like John or Jason. Something strong that didn't humiliate on introduction. After the first couple times, though, I stopped because she got so upset. My name meant Great Hunter. But try telling that to a bunch of flunkies. When I walked into Mr. Hill's homeroom for the second period, I hoped my luck had turned. I'd never seen a teacher wear Converse sneakers before. That was a first. Plus, I gathered from his Thesaurus Rex t-shirt he was a literature geek. He looked like he was just out of college, and most of the girls seemed to have a serious crush on him. It was like sitting in a classroom with cats watching a laser beam move around the room. But his lesson didn't disappoint, which I was pretty happy about. During lunch break, I checked to see if my locker was clear. It wasn't. Darren and his sidekick were back to their spot, laughing at something I could only guess was as thrilling as a good booger joke. I tried to walk past unnoticed, but soon I heard Darren calling out, Nimrod's just another word for stupid. Did you know that? Probably not. Don't you know? He's stupid. This was why Mom let me stay home, so I wouldn't have to go through this. I wished I could come up with some brilliant comment to shut them down, but finding my voice in the moment was as likely as my chance of winning the lotto. Wasn't ever gonna happen. Just when I could have used a broom closet to hide in, I came across the library. I slipped inside and felt instant relief. It was quiet, and I knew I wouldn't run into any other tools. Without my tablet, I'd have to check out a paperback, because squinting at my phone's small screen just wasn't going to do it. I found the fantasy section and picked a novel I hadn't read before, dropped my book bag onto an empty table, and slid into a chair. Between my hair and the hood of my jacket, which was pulled over my head, I had plenty of cover. I set the book down and began reading. Oh my God, do you see what she's wearing? That scarf looks like a dog's chew toy. Hideous. You're so bad, Claire. I glanced up and noticed three girls who must have been lost because they didn't seem like the types who voluntarily went into libraries. Then, sure enough, I saw one hand some papers to the librarian and snicker. I turned around to look at who they were teasing. A girl with long black hair pulled into a high ponytail was sitting across the room and smirking back at them. She had on some black and white striped tights with a purple dress that appeared to belong to a different decade. A ratty scarf was wrapped around her neck and had definitely seen better days. "Gosh, Claire, I'm surprised you know how to get to the library. Do you want me to draw you a map out of here, or should I call your mom to pick you up?" She blew them a kiss, and the three girls spun around to leave. The black-haired girl noticed me staring, and her lips turned up before she went back to what she was working on. I dropped my head, focused on the page, and continued to read until my eyes got heavy and slid closed. I was running down a faintly lit hallway that led to a spiral staircase. Shouts and footfalls from behind urged me forward. I needed to hurry. My feet leapt up the stairs two at a time until I reached the top step and I burst through a wooden door. A woman with long tangled hair rushed at me. Tears streaked down her face as she pleaded with me, "Please help me, Nimrod.